Well, you know, let's think through that for a moment. The reason that it worked is because I was passionate about it.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is Alan McLaren. Here's three facts that I think you should know about Alan. One, he has worked in corporations, led a NASDAQ-listed company, and for the past 17 years has experienced the life of an entrepreneur CEO running a creative marketing firm called Infinity Com, with two M's on the com, and his business partner, Leanne. Two, he was the global chairman of YPO, that's Young Presidents Organization, and they probably kicked him out when he became a grandpa. And while he was there, he was leading a board of 15 global CEOs, serving over 32,000 customers, members, in 150 countries with aggregate company revenues in excess of, wait for it, $9 trillion. $9 trillion. Now that's something that would even get Elon Musk salivating. And three, Alan, his purpose is love and to be loved. Every interaction in life should be about kindness, compassion, and love. Alan McLaren, love to have you here. Welcome to Your Intended Message.
Thanks, George. I'm excited to be here. It's been a long time since we've chatted.
It has been a long time, and I'm excited to be talking to you and discovering what you've been doing. And as a communications agency, typically your role is, it's marketing. But you've moved into a new area, which you call thought leadership. Tell us what your definition and how you're approaching this idea of thought leadership.
Well, let me start by saying the word thought leadership is a word we hate because, first of all, you know, it's been overblown, right, over the years. And when people think of the word thought leader, they think of, you know, in the marketing world, that Gary Vaynerchuk or Richard Branson. And in true form, I mean, they are what a thought leader is defined as. But all of us have an opportunity to talk about things that are important to us and things that we know. So if we don't think we can be what is considered a thought leader, we call that actually something called Strata Originals. So our name is Strata Originals. And what that means is strata is kind of defined by you want to get to a place, whatever that is, that's important to you. And originals is you are who you are and you have a voice and let's get that voice out there. So what we discovered over the pandemic was there was an opportunity to use digital to get people's voices out there in a bigger way. And so we created this program, which is a kind of an outsourced program for leaders, mostly CEOs, to be able to help them get their voice out there in a big way. And so we created Strata Originals.
CEOs need to get their voice out there in a big way because?
Well, think about this for a moment. I think there's one part is a bit of a mandate. And in our view is, if you've reached a certain level of success in life, isn't it important to give back the things you've learned? And only you have learned them, by the way. We could argue that, you know, leadership, you know, there have been 10,000, maybe more books on the topic of leadership. There's only one human that's experienced your leadership journey, and that's you. So wouldn't that be awesome to be able to express your learnings to others? So that's kind of number one. We think it's imperative on leaders to be able to spread that message. But there are other reasons. There's building your personal brand. It can actually help grow your business. I've got a dozen reasons why, but it elevates your credibility. You can develop strategic relationships. George, how did we connect again? You saw me on LinkedIn because I'm out there with my voice and giving me an opportunity now to share that with your audience. That's how the game is played. When you're out there, stuff will hit you. So what a great opportunity to get out there, teach, and then also get opportunities to grow your business and grow your brand.
teach. CEOs don't often think of themselves as teachers. Should they?
Well, let's think about it in the context of leadership and coaching. We all know that great leaders are also great coaches. It doesn't mean that everybody with a title is a great leader, right? We all have heard that before, right? But a good coach is someone who asks great questions. And by the nature of asking great questions, you need to be very knowledgeable about the topic so you can have really insightful questions asked, right? We've all worked for people who are incredible leaders because what? They asked us questions that got us thinking about things. So what we want to do is encourage, and it's part of the learning as well, is if you're not a good teacher, let us teach you to be a storyteller. So if we teach you to be a storyteller, I mean, George, in your world, as you know, you teach people to be storytellers to be able to get their message out there. It's not just here's the three things on the PowerPoint and go from, because that bores the crap out of people. You want people engulfed in your story and engulfed in your message. So we want to teach people to do that. And through stories, they will express their experiences and ergo teach people. So it's not in the traditional way of going to school and learning these three things. No, it's let me share my experience with you and hopefully you'll garner something from that. So that's why we help them do that.
The stories that you encourage CEOs to share, are they typically about success or about pain and struggle?
It can be whatever helps get the message across. So part of our process when we talk to CEOs is we help them with what we call platform development. So what is it that you want to share with the world? So I'll use my example to illustrate what we're talking about. So I'm a communications, I think, expert. I'm a leader. And so just to test that out, I did something over the summer about a year ago. I said, I'm going to see what people see me as. And so I did a video on, I did actually 10 videos on marketing, tips, tricks, whatever it is. And I did 10 videos on leadership. I got crickets on the marketing stuff. That's the stuff I know. But people saw me as a leader because of my YPO experience and the things that I've done there. So I said, okay, so that's how my audience sees me. Ergo, that's my vehicle to get my message out. Do I sell leadership services? No, I can't, because I make you a better leader, make a dollar off of that. But what it does is it elevates my brand and elevates my credibility. So people say, if they like me, what a cool message, what insightful messages. And oh, by the way, that's what you teach people to do. So there is a bit of a connection point. So that's kind of how we came to do it. And that's how we came to this part of our world.
Now, that's curious, Alan. Your expertise is marketing. And when you produced videos about marketing advice, people really didn't care. They weren't interested. And yet that's your lifeblood. And then when you produce videos about leadership, it got traction and it took off. Yeah. And maybe, is it because, well, we know what marketing is, but leadership, we don't know what it is.
Well, you know, let's think through that for a moment. The reason that it worked is because I was passionate about it. You think about marketing is what I do and I understand it and can have great conversations, but they typically have a context, right? I have a problem I need to solve in marketing, ergo apply these tactics and blah, blah, blah. And there's a million of them. But the experience that, you know, what am I going to share? Well, we, you know, that's a case study. We did this for Yellow Pages. We did this for Alberta Sexual Assault. You know, if it doesn't have context, it doesn't land. And that in your world, you know that very, very well. So, but in leadership is if people saw me as a leader, I have thousands of stories over the 30 years of leadership experiences that I wanted to share with the world. And I had the stories to back them up. So that's what resonated with people, whether it was something I had to terminate somebody in a situation, or I had to elevate somebody, or I had to coach somebody, or I had to do a turnaround, or I had to stop a union from coming in. All of those are leadership experiences that only I have. People have done them, but only I have in my world. So that was why it comes out, I think, very authentically, which is the number one word that I know that you live in your world and I live in mine. That if you're real and you're authentic, and you're not trying to sell people and stuff, then I think people connect. And when people connect with you, then they'll listen to you and they'll follow you. And that's kind of where I landed on the leadership side. And I'm having a great time. And the other thing that's really cool about it is I get to experience what it's like to be a Strata original, if you will, because I'm a client of my own customer, of my own company. So I get to feel what it feels like when someone likes something or doesn't like it or ignores it. And then I can use that knowledge to help our thought leaders in this context understand what's actually happening on digital. So it's a nice way. Finally, that, you know, the shoemaker's kids have the bad shoes. Now I'm okay now. I'm experiencing it. It's kind of fun.
Now, what I hear there, Alan, is that you're a better teacher when you are an avid student of the craft.
100%. But here's the interesting thing is sometimes as a student of the craft, you're learning by doing, right? So some people, you know, have their academia and there's an academic side of leadership. I read all the books. I've got them. You see some of them behind me. We've all read tons of books. When I read books on leadership today, I'm bored after the first paragraph because I've seen it, done it, whatever. But the stories that fill the gaps on an application, on a concept. So for example, if I use the concept of leadership, of listening as an important tenet in leadership, no one would argue with me that listening is critical. How many people in your world are great listeners? 5%? 10%?
Probably in that range. Yes, right? Definitely.
And isn't that an amazing skill in your personal relationships? So learning to listen, effectively asking great questions. So people know it, but they don't do it. So awareness doesn't translate into law knowledge, but stories might, because people say, you know what? I see how he did that. I think I can do that. And then it's about the learning they can apply one step at a time. And that's what the stories will do, because they, as we all know, stories resonate in our brains differently than here's three things you should know, right? So that's what we try to do, is try to get those stories out there. And then people will say, I think I can learn something and do something about it. And that's what we're hoping happens.
Alan, I'm hearing reinforcement about the power of stories, and I'm a total believer in that. Can you share with us a story from your experience with YPO of an aha moment for you, when suddenly it was like your vision of the world changed because, really? You mean I've been wrong all along? Do you have one of those aha moments?
I probably have about 100, George. So, you know, and if I use the name of your, you know, your podcast, your intended message, it's really an interesting way to think about it. So I was what I would call an accidental leader in YPO. I just kept saying yes to things I didn't really know about, and then kept climbing up this proverbial volunteer ladder. Every time I reached that spot, I kind of went, wow, these people are really successful. Do I belong here? Like, what's the deal? And so what I learned, the aha moment was, if you're truly authentic, yeah, I mean, you got to be smart and affable, all the things that good humans are, and kind. But what resonated with me was this. At the end of my term, we had a send-off dinner for me. And there was some beautiful messages written in a book, and I'll never forget them, because you know, what matters is how you impact people in the world, right? I think that's key. But I had one person walk up to me, and it makes me emotional. And he put his hands on my shoulders and he says, thank you for being you. And I said, what does that mean? He says, you're the only guy that really gave a crap when my wife was not well. You asked me about that 6 months later. You checked in with me. So it got me to realize or reinforce that, you know, it's the old message, people will only care when they know you care. Well, that happened with these guys running hundreds of million-dollar businesses around the world. It didn't change. They're humans first. So for me, it reinforced that whether it's your entry-level intern or an experienced CEO, humans are at the base of everything we do. So leadership is about connecting with humans and caring about them deeply. And if you do, they will give you back, we'll use the word love, 100 times over, which fills you up because you're making a difference in their lives. So that was the aha moment for me, is reinforcing that love does matter and caring does matter, even though sometimes we all these have these masks on because we're, you know, we're leaders and we're, it doesn't matter. It's back to humans and humans matter.
And it's when you, as you say that, Alan, I'm reminded of the old question, what's it going to say on your tombstone? It's not going to talk about your titles or how much money you had. It'll be hopefully something about people who you cared for.
Well, you know, it's the trap in successful leaders, and I've seen and experienced a bunch of them, is sometimes they have a scorecard that has money on the top of the list. And what I try to advise young people is, I said, look, money's important. Let's not, you know, be altruistic. Let's not think about that. But to your point, George, the question is, what do people really remember? And my purpose, again, which I stole from somebody and I can't remember what it is, love and be loved. If that's on my tombstone, that I had a lot of people that loved me and I loved a lot of people, it sounds really easy. But when you look at an interaction between a mother and a child or a father and a child and you see real love, isn't that what human experience should be about? And I don't want to get too, you know, woo-woo about it. But at the end of the day, we invented work. We're inventing all the stuff we're doing is invented. So what's real? The human relationships are real. And so that's why, for me, you know, we have to do all the things to be successful in life, for sure. You have to work hard, discipline, all those things. But at the end of the day, if you do it in a kind way, the people that you love and love you, and the people in your business and life, and you make a touch point that makes a difference, isn't that really what matters? For me, it does, is to have that touch point that says, I've left something better than I found it with a human relationship. And if I've helped somebody in their career or with a connection, that feels good too.
Alan, you mentioned that when you started creating videos, what took off wasn't your expertise, but it was what you were passionate about. And my guess is that passion was easy to identify when watching the video. Clearly, this guy's passionate about this as opposed to lecturing. And is that a criteria that a CEO needs to examine before they start spreading their thought leadership?
George, thank you for that. It's the number one thing, is when you discover passion, you know, there's nothing that can be faked about that, right? And so when we look at their, and sometimes, by the way, the passion doesn't necessarily relate to the business. And we have a client who is a competition lawyer, but his passion and his stories come around, I want to use this, we call it the power of ideas, to spread my message, which is about hope for the world. And so it's nothing to do with it. His experience obviously is helpful, but his passion is about helping people. So that's what we do with him, is we discover that. And there are many permutations. By the way, of all the customers we have, there's not one that's exactly the same. Their passions relate sometimes directly to their business, but often they don't. So they're either adjacent or supplementary, and we can work with either side of that, but it comes down passion first. Because then authenticity comes out of passion, right, George? You can't fake it. If I decided to, you know, learn about, I don't know, repairing printers, it wouldn't be passionate about me. I could teach you how to do it, but would you feel it? People feel it. People can feel it through these digital screens. If I'm excited about something, and they can see when it's full of crap. So that's why passion is number one, and everything else flows from that.
When a CEO comes to you, Alan, and says, okay, I'll take you up on this strata thing. Tell me what to do.
So we're not going to tell you what. Here's the fun part, is we're going to start a journey with you. So the first part of the journey is what we call discovery, is let's understand who you are, what you're trying to do, and where you're trying to go. So understand your business, your passions, your family, all that stuff. And then we kind of figure out, okay, you've landed on something. Let's do some research to find out where that lands in the context of the world. Are you on trend? So one of our guys happens to do robotics. So what did we do? Are we going to talk about robotics? No, we're going to bore the crap out of people. But let's talk about the future of work, because that's an interesting concept. What's going to happen to all of us in the future when we're working side by side with robots? What's universal income. So we took his business, turned it into a passion, and now he's expressing that way. So that discovery process gets manifested in a content plan that's laid out for a year that says, here's how we're going to do this. And it's very systematized. But the fun part is we make it easy for the CEO, is we do the work interviewing them, very much like you're interviewing me today. And then we capture that and put it into a place where they can go, I get it. Here's the videos we're going to do. Here's the quotes we're going to do. Here's the systematic. And then we take it away from them, go do the work. And then every quarter, we come back and record more content. So we make their lives very, very easy.
There's a link in the description below for those who want to find out more about Threat Original. They can find it at the website. That's infinitycom.com/2ms.ca. And the sub listing is /strata-home. And that's at infinitycom.ca. Alan, while you're talking, what came to my mind, a story that I've used with my audience and it's funny when you're right about the passion. I have three children, and when they were young, they all played soccer, and I enjoyed taking them to the games and watched hundreds of games. And I enjoyed watching them play. I enjoyed the fresh air. I didn't even stand around and chit-chat with the other parents. I just was so into the game. And I remember at this one game, I ran into a friend, my friend Dave. He's there. And then we realized that, okay, our daughters were playing each other. And Dave says to me, he says, George, which one is yours? And I point towards the field, and I said, the one with the ponytail. And he starts laughing. He says, George, they all have ponytails. and I looked around, and he was right. And I realized that story, which is authentic, but it also illustrates of how we see the world from our perspective.
100%.
And my guess, and I'm guessing this is what you encourage CEOs, is to find those stories that they think that they've maybe forgotten about and think are little, but they are teaching points.
They're all teaching points. And that's the thing, is we don't always think about it as a teaching point, do we? Because we live in experience until you actually, it's almost like the process of writing a book. If you were looking at a book, you'd say, okay, well, what do I know? And how do I structure it so that the story could come out effectively? So that's what we're essentially doing with them. We're helping them write a story that has a beginning, middle, and end, right? Very much like you do in your world. You start, you know, and you capture people with stories or humor, whatever that happens to be. We try to do the same things, but we also try to do it within the context of their authenticity. So I'm very comfortable speaking on stage. I'm very comfortable in front of video. Not everybody is, right? So we have to actually help them through that leap over that. Okay, do I belong? Am I comfortable? Whatever that thing is. And I'm sure, George, you have to deal with that as well, right? You have to deal with people in your world as well to help them over. I'd be actually curious, before I finish my question, is how do you help them through the leap over, you know, we call it imposter syndrome. I don't know if you've heard of that term before, but it's people not think. Have you had that experience yourself, that you've had to deal with that with some of the folks you work with?
Well, I can give you two aspects of the imposter syndrome. One, myself. I've certainly gone through it. And you know what? Yeah. When you get into a new situation, it comes up again. And you know, and like that question you said, do I belong here? Everyone else is smarter than me, or everyone else is more successful than me, or everyone else is better than me. And we go through that in different stages. So that's something that that just brings us back to reality, and we go, yes, okay, I'm not perfect, and that's okay. And they're not perfect either. Mm-hmm. And that's probably the most important lesson, is to understand that we are all imperfect, and especially in business, we run around pretending that we are perfect. Mm-hmm. Which is very difficult for when new people come into the workplace and they look around saying, everybody's perfect here. And yeah. I don't even know where the bathroom is. And to answer your question, it comes up, and my advice to leaders, whether they're speaking on stage or whether they're speaking to camera, is to imagine you are speaking to one person. Imagine we're just having a conversation. See that camera, see a person behind that camera. When you're on stage and there's 20 people or hundreds of people, talk to one person at a time. And yes, it doesn't just happen like that, but that's the process.
You know, it's interesting in the way that we kind of frame it with our clients is this is a learning opportunity for you. So yeah, and because the people that work for you also have that same feeling, right? When they come into the boardroom for the first time to present to you the fear that's there, right? So we all know in great leaders is feel the fear and do it anyways, right? But not everybody's capable of getting outside that comfort zone. So we just position it as, okay, you're gonna learn something. You're gonna learn about storytelling. You're gonna learn about how you overcome that fear and become a better communicator. And here's the fun part. It's not live. You record a video, it doesn't work, we do it again, we do it again, we do it again until you feel comfortable. And then you're in, then once you're comfortable, it becomes relatively second nature. And it's so amazing to watch them explode into comfort after a few times. The first few are not great because they're just not comfortable. And then once they get it, it's great. And then that's a lesson they can take as well to their team as well and saying, we get it. So let's all work on that together to become better storytellers and better teachers.
And that's fascinating, Alan, because you used their learning experience as a way for them to better understand their people.
100%, because the one thing that we actually never even thought of while we're going through this process is, do you realize the impact on your team when you're out there? If you do a good job, you're representing, there's a sense of pride and look at George. George is out there and he's telling us, telling the world about, you know, our world. There's a lot of pride that goes into that. So it actually helps your team feel really confident about where the company's going, in addition to your own personal brand and helping the business. So there's a multitude of reasons why people should do this. But, you know, the personal development was one that you can just check a box and say, because by the way, I don't care if you're a 50 or 60 year old CEO, there's always a lot to learn. So
you bet, you bet. And Alan, I hear another lesson in there that when you are you represent your team, another source of your stories is stories about your team.
Absolutely can be, of course, if they're elevating people, right? As you know. So some of the stories that I've told in the past, I always make sure I never mention names, like specific names, but I mentioned scenarios whereby I've learned something from it. Erbor, I want to express that for you. So it is, but they always come from those stories. I mean, when I was at the NASDAQ listed company, you know, that's a long drawn out story of things that I discovered, but the leadership journey there for me was, you know what, not believing what you're seeing with your eyes. I had to learn that because I'm looking at numbers and going, well, that looks reasonable, but they were doctored numbers. Well, how am I supposed to know they're doctored? Now I know to ask another question. But again, I had to learn that because I'm looking at P&Ls and going, well, they look reasonable to me. Well, but the numbers garbage in, garbage out. So I had to learn that. And that's something I'll express to a CEO and say, listen, don't take what's at face value, dig deeper because there's always a story behind the numbers. And so again, that's a lesson that I learned in that business that had a major impact. So again, that's where some of the stuff that the stories are there in all of the businesses you have.
Alan, as we prepare to wrap up, if you could sit down with a CEO who for the first time is hearing this concept that they should be putting their message out there, they should be telling their story, but they're reluctant. They're saying, well, that people don't want to hear from me. I don't look good on camera. My voice sounds terrible and I don't have time. So if you could give them one, two or three pieces of advice that might help move them to get serious about this, what might that be?
So the first thing is if it's in a business context, it's one of the ways you can help grow your business without selling, right? So people think, well, I'm going to get on video and I'm going to tell you all about what I do and how I do it. Have I today talked to you about anything marketing and Infinity? And no, we haven't talked about that, right? So you're going to look at me and say, you know, if you like me, you don't like me, whatever it is, you'll say, you know what, cool dude. I like what he says. I'd like to know more about him. What happens in your context, in your business, when you have now 150 pieces of content out there in the world and you haven't sold a thing, you've humanized your business. You put a face to that corporate name. I don't care if you're a big company or a small company, it doesn't really matter. Your voice is out there. So if you want to do it to help your business, that's great. If you have a passion that hasn't been expressed, like you thought about writing a book, most people think they have a title in them, they never do it. What a great way to practice it, right? And it's low risk practice, right? And so that's the other thing that I look at. If you have the passion, you want to get it out there, you're passionate about it for a reason, aren't you? It's not just because you enjoy something. I love to play golf. So more people that play golf, better. Just don't do it at the times that I play because I want to play by myself. But you know what I mean? The point is you have a passion about something and people feel that, right? And the time element, that's part of the reason we created this program to now turn into selling mode for a moment, is we've made it outsourced so that the CEO can be the CEO and we can tell them, we need you for 2 hours here, 3 hours there, 4 hours there, go be a CEO. Before that, they had to go write their own blogs, do their own videos, figure it out, plan it. And it would take 7-8 hours a week. They don't have that kind of time. So that's why our program comes in to eliminate the time issue. And oh, by the way, we're going to help you think through it so that when you're out there, we're going to help you find your voice faster. So that's kind of what we would tell people.
My guest today is Alan McLaren, reminding you that if you think you're not a good teacher, become a good storyteller.
I could not end it on any better statement than that.
If you like what you heard, remember to like, comment, and share this podcast. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.